Morning, everyone. Come on in. Come on in. Take a seat, including Pastor. Aren't we blessed with a beautiful morning today? I want to read a couple of verses from Psalm 84. Beginning with verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Think about this week with Thanksgiving and Black Friday. You know, and all the things that people have been yearning for in this last week. You know, whether it be that turkey leg or that TV that's on sale at Best Buy. And this morning, let's yearn for the Lord. And that, you know, the television set, well, I know. I have one that's heading for the dump tomorrow because it doesn't work anymore. The television sets that are in the box now and be handed out at Christmas, they will die in that. The word of the Lord never will. Drop down to verse 10, and this is one that we're used to hearing songs, and I don't know, who knows, maybe Jonathan and Robin have it on the list today. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And when we trust in him, he sees us in Jesus' righteousness, not ours. Join me in prayer, please. Father God, we thank you for your son Jesus, for his sacrifice, and that he is our sun and our shield. Father, now help us to worship you, to recognize you as God, creator, savior. Savior of our souls, we thank you for all that you do. In the name of our Savior Jesus, amen. Amen. Just stand and join Robin and Jonathan in worship.
Yes, let's stand and worship our great and powerful God. He is greater than all other things. Let's lift him up higher than anything else in our lives. He is for us, not against us. He loves us. Let's worship together.
Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you.
Our God is greater.
And our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Darkness.
Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you.
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
If our God is for us,
and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against?
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
one more time.
Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Oh, God.
Amen. Let's give a hand for the Lord.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
I can see light, and I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. The glorious light beyond all compare. Troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Yes, I can see a light.
Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles. But until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you.
One more time, I can see a light.
Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles. But until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you.
Oh no.
And oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Sing that again one more time.
Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Amen, amen. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is holding us. He will never let us go, no matter what we're going through. And he is with us now. And let's go ahead and praise his great name together.
Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to flee at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high. And all the world will praise your great name. And all the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. Sick are healed, the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb. God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name.
Redeemer,
Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my King. Redeemer, my healer, Lord, my Savior, Defender, you are my King. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Your great great name, your great name.
Amen. Let's give another hand for the Lord and his great name. This next song is based on a familiar scripture in John, where Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's always good to remind ourselves of God's truth, right? Amen? Amen. And to sing scripture to each other. So let's sing this together.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion. You are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take. I believe that you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. And I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
It's a new horizon.
It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. You meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. You meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
Lord, we're so thankful that you made a way for us, God, that you provided a way for us to enter your kingdom, and that way was through the provision of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for his payment for our sins. Lord, we thank you for the truth, that you led us to the truth, that you opened our eyes to see the truth amidst the numerous lies that are all about us in this world. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you for being the life. God, for being the life for us. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came to give us life abundantly, and you give us life eternally, God. We're so thankful. That's why we worship you, Lord. We praise your name, God. We pray that you would teach us this morning how to honor you with our lives, and just live a life of thanks to you, God. Pray that you would do that this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving. Well, one thing I can honestly say as I look out, one thing to be thankful for genuinely is you. And that's the truth in Jesus' name. So when I look out at you and I see your faces and I see your hearts for the Lord and I see what God's trying to do in your life and I see you walking in here in the Word and I see you trying to come in here and bless other people, man, I don't know, my heart rejoices. And so I'm just thankful for you guys that you're here today and that God has a word for you and for us today. And so we've got a couple things. Yes, I just snorted. My wife's like, you just snorted. Oh, good, thanks. All right, so we've got a few things to go over. Now that Mrs. Hetherington's here, we can start. And now... a couple things to go over really quickly, and if we could bring up the announcements, George, we're going to use last week's announcement, because I am not teaching this morning, so I got to have a really nice Thanksgiving with my family, so thank you, Mark, personally, for doing that. So a couple things to go over really quickly. Hopefully, I'll see if I can zip through this really quick. Okay, you guys know tithes and offerings. We receive those in the back. There's a little bird box back there. We're not going to cajole you or try to psych you up into giving. If you want to give to the Lord, you put your tithes and offerings back in that bird box. And God loves a cheerful giver. Oh, that's right. I forgot. This was from last week. Sorry, I got a pie in the face at school from all the kids. Actually, Nehemiah got a pie in the face for those who raised money for the school. I know, Jaden. Oh, okay, yes. All right, Jaden, yes. She was number one or number two, I think. Selling the most pies, raising some money. I don't think I got that smell out of my beard for... He was eating the pie off my face. Yeah, that was kind of gross. Okay. Well, you guys know we have an equipping ministry here at the church. You know we have sermons online. Listen, I don't usually promote my own teachings, but if you were not here last week to hear the last 30 or 40 minutes of that teaching where we talked about what? I'm sorry?
I said it was awesome.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, in the Lord. It's only because of the Lord. I really want you to listen to that. If you happen to miss that for whatever reason, if you're sick or tired or whatever, that is, I would encourage you to really go out. You need to listen to that teaching, okay? So especially when we start off with, I think it's Helmet of Salvation, Shield of Faith. It's just when we're working together, marching together, and there's just so much in there. I would just ask you to listen to it. Pray about it, and I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, put it on their hearts. And you can listen to that at homefellowshipchurch.com. And whatever last week's sermon, just the last 40 minutes or so, I want to encourage you to do that. Yes, yeah, if I can give you the mic. Hold on. We don't have the Weavers here. They usually deliver the mic.
I know I've had it longer than I should have. But I do have, what is it, the Lord, what's the name of that, Lord... That the CD, the book, or about spiritual warfare, Lord Falkrin's letters. Yeah, so I started listening to that, and because it takes me forever. But I just want you to know that last week I had started, and then we had what did we have last Sunday morning?
Communion.
And let me tell you how precious that was to kind of have. Like, you're just was very sensitive to what's going on in that spiritual realm and how precious that was to have communion after hearing that and just realizing what he did for us. You know, it just kind of opened me up for that a little bit more. So just for anybody else, it really, you know, read the books or listen when I get that one returned.
Yes. Actually, yeah, that's good. We have lots of books in the Loner Library, stuff on audio. We've got this one you'll need to sign out. If anybody wants, I'll just say probably for the guys, Invisible War, All About Spiritual Warfare by Chip Ingram. We've got it on audio for everyone, but more for us guys. Also, there's we have on here, give me just a second, Frank Peretti, This Present Darkness on audio. If anybody would like to check that out of our Loner Library, there's a sheet in the back. You can do that. And we keep running out of these books. Every week I give them away, and every single week I run out. And so I got plenty more again, but I started giving them away already. So this is anybody? Okay, Diane. Okay, Sue. Okay, yes, on you, man. There's one for you. Now, this book is on spiritual warfare, and it's probably, again, I'm almost only 50% through, and it's probably one of the best books I've read in 20 years on spiritual warfare. So I reserve the right to hate it after if it tanks at the end. Okay, there we go. Okay, now is there anybody else who wants this book? It's a free gift in Jesus' name. We just want to bless you and train you up and teach you and encourage you. One, two, okay, three. Any more? Anybody else want one? I'm going to get some more in. If you want it free, well, you can read your brothers. Anybody else? Four? Hey, just raise your hand. It's five. Okay. Anybody else? Six? Good job, Michael. All right. Anyone else? This one. Oh, yeah. He's with this one. All right. So you got it. Six. All right. I'll get six more in for next week. I love it. So please read it. And we just want to encourage you in it. Okay, what else do we have here? All right. Announcements. Prayer Sunday mornings. We'd so love to have you come out here. We got to pray outside. It was awesome. I got to do that too, since I wasn't rushing around trying to get the PowerPoints already. So that was really fantastic too. So also, we've got men's Bible studies here at the church, the first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Dinner, and 6:30 is Bible study. Also, we have the women's Bible study going through the book of Ephesians. And that's the second Tuesday of each month from 6:30 to 8:30 here at HFC. You can call Erica for more information about that. Also, actually, I'm going to do this really quickly. I know the Weavers are on vacation, so God bless them too. But and so are Scott and Delana. They're at the Ark Encounter up there. But we're going to take a minute, and we're going to pray for Michael and Shirley Volk and their family and Helen, for those of you who... Helen has dementia and is really struggling with some things, and she also just fell and shattered her hip. And so they texted me this morning and said, please, please, would you have our church family pray? And so I said, we'll all do that. So can we just take a minute and let's just all pray for them? Can we do that? Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for this family. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would just touch Helen, Lord, ease her pain, Lord God, comfort her, Lord, just heal her up, Lord, give her kind and caring doctors, Lord God. I ask that you would strengthen Shirley and Michael, Lord God. I just love that family so much, Lord. I just pray in Jesus' name that you would work it out in a way that you would bring them back as soon as possible to us, Lord. I know they're trying to care for her and all that entails, Lord. Give them godly wisdom, godly strength, Lord, and help them to overcome any fears or any obstacles they have. Bless that family, protect them, and help them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen and amen. Thank you, family. Thank you. All right, so what else do we have this week? The Transformers Youth Group from 6:30 to 8:30. Hey, that reminds me. Yep. Josh. Where are you? Okay, sweet. Okay, pretend I'm not doing this right now in the middle of service. Okay, this is All the Living Waters, the first four seasons. George, you can load that. Would you load that on that computer? And then you can load it on yours if you'd rather you do that. Okay, youth group is 6:30 to 8:30 here at Home Fellowship Church. And baby dedication, but we're not having that today because your wife is in, yes, the nursery. So we're going to do that next week. And it's Stacy. We're going to dedicate Stacy. Stassi. I'm sorry. It's not Darina. So, all right. Stassi, we're going to do that. And we're going to call you guys up here. And we're going to dedicate the baby. And it's just going to be a beautiful time. Okay? Awesome. All right. Okay. So we are not talking about spiritual warfare. So we're going to wait. All right. Oh, yeah. Christmas party. Lisa, can you come up here for a second? Also, folks have been asking us about Christmas party and what we're going to do, and we're going to do something different. So I'm going to hand it over to my wife, I guess.
Okay. Okay. Can you guys all look at your calendars real quick? Get your calendars out. What?
I'm looking at you. You're my calendar.
Okay. I got it, babe. Okay. December 15th. I know we just had Thanksgiving. You know, my kids get after me. Don't set up the Christmas tree until the day after Thanksgiving. I did it about 4 days ahead of time. So, but we want to kind of have you guys mark this date. We've done different kinds of Christmas parties in the past. We've had the women's separate from the men's. We've done all kinds of different things. This year, we really would like to have a family celebration. And one of the things that families love to do together is sit at one table together and eat together. And the only way Darren and I really know how to do that is Italian style. So I'll have him talk about that in just a second. But I want you to look at the 15th. It's a Saturday evening. Mark it on your calendar. We really would like to come together as a family and sit down together, and then have a party together. And of course, we're going to, I know some of you guys still have your white elephant gifts that you want to recycle and bring back around for, I don't know, 10th time now, who knows. But so we're still going to have that one. That's definitely a family fave. But I want you to mark your calendars today for that, because I know the season's coming up, and there's so many, many things to do. So just pray about that, but really mark your calendar, see if you can come on out for that. Next week we're going to start asking for a head count, because if we're all going to try to get around one table, it needs a little bit more planning than just setting up tables and everybody go around and eat in different spots, okay? So we're going to start asking about that next week, just approximate head count. But what do you want to share about it? We do need some help. So if you'd like to set up, if you'd like to help with food, if you'd like to help with decorations or games, your talents and your gifts would be appreciated. That will be determined. Should we announce that next week? To be determined, but just mark that day. Maybe we'll have you pull out your calendars again next week and put the date, the time in. How about that? Yes.
Yes.
If the Lord puts that on your heart, honey, you can do that. That's what family does. Whatever, you know, the Lord puts on their heart for that day.
Yeah. And so what we're going to do is we were going to do just a regular dinner. Gary is so wonderful. He's trying to protect us from being overwhelmed and stuff like that. And I really appreciate your heart in that. But I think we're going to serve some of our, we've got some homemade recipes from Italy that, my grandma's sauce from Sicily that she's made long. We're going to make some homemade sauce from our side of the family. And then either some pasta and some lasagna, which is her family's recipe for many generations. And so we wanted to do that and make that for you and then serve you. And so, hey, that'd be great. So we need desserts and salad. So Gage, if you want to bake, you know, break some pies and cakes, bring them in, you know, being that, you know, that'd be fantastic. Whatever you want to do. So, okay. So yes, and if you're going to buy a white elephant gift, just make it under $10. Make sure it's appropriate. You know, if it's something Christian or something goofy, you know. The favorite so far, I hate to say it, has been, what is it, an ornament, an Anthony Letario autographed picture ornament. Is that correct? A picture of him arm wrestling. Yes, it's been a favorite. Yes, couple questions. It is going to be held
most likely here.
Probably here, depending on how many people are coming. If we have 10 people coming, well, we might do it at our house. If we have 110 people coming, we'll probably do it here. You know, because the kids could be outside playing and doing manhunt, just a lot of fun stuff like that. So, yes. Yes, St. Victor, your question, sir. Go ahead, son. We'll announce that next week. We don't know yet. We haven't thought that far ahead. It'll be in the evening.
Yes,
absolutely. All right. Mark, can you come up here, and are you wired up for sound? Not that you need to be.
Yes, I am wired for sound.
Okay. Come here. We're going to pray for you. I'll call you Michael Jackson with the glove.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I think I'm going to take it off because we're going bare knuckles today.
Okay, all right. That's good. Father, I thank you that you've gathered each person here today, Lord, under your cross, Lord, under the banner of your cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for you, Lord. So thankful for your love that you give each one of us, Lord. Will you speak to each one of us, Lord? Would you make our hearts and minds ready? Whatever we're thinking that's clogging the way for you, Jesus, any sort of religious stuff or denominational stuff or what we're wearing stuff or what we're just move that all aside and help us to focus on you, your heart, your word, and your Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask for a blessing right now on Mark, that you would anoint his tongue, Lord. You would help him to be humble, to be humble, but to be anointed and to preach the word with boldness, Lord God. We ask that you would encourage him and you would encourage us to speak, Lord, your word. So help us to hear what you want us to hear, see what you want us to see, and help Mark to speak what you want him to speak to us. In Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Does anybody need a Bible here? We'll deliver one right to you. You will need a Bible for today's study. Okay, we need a couple. All right. Jojo, would you grab a few of these Bibles here, son? Anybody need a giant print Bible? I won't say who.
Yes.
I'll just hand it out in this general area. Nobody will see. And you can even have that as a gift in Jesus' name if you'll read it. All right. Okay, keep your hands up if you want one. All right, Mark, all you.
Okay. I want you to look at that. And I want you to understand. He never lets go. Once again, this is a very, very personal message that the Lord and I have lived together for years. And Darren did an amazing job over the past few weeks setting the table with the messages on spiritual warfare. Because it's real, folks. I'm telling you, flat out, straight up, it's real. And 2 weeks ago, on a Tuesday, it was about 2:30 in the afternoon. And I had just gotten home from work, and Debbie said, "Hey, let's cut the dog's toenails." I said, "Okay." So we went outside, which is where we always go, so we don't have to clean up the mess on the inside. And Molly, you need to understand, she's a 12.5-pound toy fox terrier. Okay? She is a beautiful dog. And so I'm holding her, and Debbie's holding her paws, and we're trimming the nails, and I cut the quick on one of her nails. Well, that makes her real nervous. So I got done, and she got loose from me and hit Debbie right in the chest. She fell down. Honey, hold your hand up. Okay, so that's Tuesday afternoon. I thought it was sprained, and she thought it was sprained, but when she woke up on Friday and it was all black and blue, I knew that something was not right. So we had to take her to the hospital. Then we went to the doctor the following week, and she got the cast. But that was just the beginning. That was mild. About 10:30 that night, I got a call from my son-in-law in Kentucky. And Debbie and I are in bed, and I'm just about to fall asleep. The phone rings, and it's DJ. I said, "Hey, what's going on?" He says, "Well, you're the closest thing I have to a father on this earth." And when that's the way that the conversation starts, you know you better buckle up. So he said, "Mark, Ronan got expelled permanently from school. He is 8 years old. And he believes in right and wrong, and he likes playing cops and robbers, and he's playing cops and robbers with his pencil. And the teacher says he's holding a gun, and we need to restrain him. Two full-grown adult men came in, subdued my 8-year-old grandson, put him on the ground so that he could not even move. They said he is a future school shooter and assassin." Okay? So, after about an hour of conversation with him, you know, they said, "Hey, we're going to homeschool our kids. We're not going to subject our children to having to go to a school psychologist and all this kind of stuff so that he can get admitted back to the school." Additionally, that day, they took one of my granddaughters in, Morgan, and they grilled her about her brother and all of the things that happened in the house. And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" So there's a target on my grandson's back, and he's got a younger brother, so I guarantee you he's got a target on his back too. So they're gone. They're homeschooling now. But that wasn't the worst of it. At the end of that conversation, DJ asked me, he says, Mark, did you know that Jared started drinking again? My son, who's an alcoholic, had been clean for probably 10 years. And he started drinking again. And I'm like, whoa. Now I got to tell you, had I not been through wars and spiritual warfare before, I would have lost my mind. But God's word is true. He speaks no careless word. All he says is purest truth, like silver seven times refined. And I said to him, first of all, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Because this is where I went. Because I knew what this said. First Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. My first call was, Lord, what is going on? And you know what he said? After he said this, I had total peace. Total comfort. He said, Mark, you've been praying for years that I would draw each member of your family closer to me. And it is through adversity that my people draw close to me, because they realize they cannot depend on themselves, but they have to depend on me. And you know, when the Lord tells you that, you can be good with it. You know that he is in control. You know that he is the one that knows what's going on, what needs to happen in order to bring them to himself. So I was good with that. And Darren had talked about spiritual warfare and the armor of God. And this thing, by the way, this is heavy.
Yeah, if you're I held the spear.
I know. And if you're going to wield this, you better be in shape. You better be in spiritual shape. Okay? This is, let's turn to Hebrews 4:12. And it says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirits and joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why I could go to the Lord. Because he was going to discern for me what was going on. He was going to share with me what was going on. He's raised the stakes in the game. No more playing around. This is for real. This is ultimately life and death. Now, I got to be honest with you guys. I don't know how many of us in this room think that we're in the fight. But if you think you're not in the fight, you're wrong. You need to get in the fight. You need to get in, all in the fight. Because if you think for one second that, oh, Pastor D will carry me through. Well, Gary, I talked to Gary and he'll carry me through. I talked to Flo and she's been through so much and she'll carry me through. I got to tell you something. You may not know this, but only God is all powerful. Okay? The devil is not all powerful. He has limited resources. And the more of us that are in the fight, the weaker he becomes. So let's get in the fight. And we fight together. That slide that Darren had last week where the shields were all together and they were covering each other and they were helping each other. And if you've ever seen the movie The 300 with the Spartans and the shields and all of that stuff, it is, when you raise your shield, you're protecting the one that's next to you. And the one that raises the shield on this side is protecting you. And so on and so on. We have to fight together. Okay? Now, that leads us to our teaching for today, which is John 14. And, you know, God does know everything, because all of the worship songs that we sang today are related to John 14, and most of them are related to 13 through 16, which is where we're going. 13 through 16. Last time, we talked about our mission. What is our mission? Okay? The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. That was the crux of our discussion last time. But now we need to know, how do we do that? Okay? And Jesus says in verse 13, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." Now that started before time ever began, and that goes until after time ends. That is forever. That's all of eternity. He will, oh no, you never let go. Through, what does it say, George? Yeah, you did. Through the storm and all of that good. He never lets go.
Yeah, next one down, George. Go down, 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 down. Hey, keep going down. Down.
No. What? Just to let you know, he's got a hold of you, and he's not going to let go, okay? Oh, no, you never let go. You never let go of me, okay? In every high and every low, oh, no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. And believe me, on that Tuesday, there were a lot of lows, and it went from low to lower, to lowest. But then I went back up. Why? Because I knew the Lord would never let go of me, and he revealed to me that which was going on. So, it's important to know the context of the scriptures that we're studying. And the question is, what is the context of verse 13, where Jesus says, ask in my name? Now, we need to know what that means. But first of all, we need to know what it doesn't mean. Okay, it's not some magic God vending machine token that you put in and you say, well, in Jesus' name, this is what I want, Lord, and expect to manipulate God into doing what you want him to do. We have to get our heart right with him. We cannot manipulate him. We can only allow him to change our hearts. And that's what it means. I've got a friend in Kentucky that every Saturday we would go, and we had a group called Iron Man, and some of us got there early, and we would sit and have a conversation, and Goose was talking about, man, my back is killing me, and I prayed in Jesus' name that he would stop, and you know that the pain would go away, and it isn't going away. And so we asked him a few questions, you know. Said, hey, well, are you doing any exercising? Are you doing the things that need to be done physically? You know, you said you were going to go on a special diet or to lose some weight or do. No, I'm not doing any of that. I just prayed in Jesus' name and expected it to happen. That is not what works. Okay? What does work is, you notice that Pastor D always says, in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, because Pastor D knows what this means, okay? Starting in verse 5. Chapter 2. Here Paul says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name which is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why is that so important? Well, to know the reason for that, we had to have a name that would override everything. Why? Because in the beginning, Adam was the one that had the keys to the kingdom. And he took his leading and information from his wife, took a bite of the apple, and gave the kingdom away. The Father said, do not eat of the fruit. I don't know if it was an apple. It never says it was an apple. It says fruit. Everybody assumes. Who cares? But he didn't believe God. He believed the lie. And when we were created, in the image of God. But when Adam took that bite of the fruit, the inherent ability, the God-given ability, the Holy Spirit of God, which dwelled in him, left. He died spiritually that day. And then he started to die physically. So what happened, and it tells us in Genesis 5, in 1 through 3 that when Adam was 125 years old, he had a son who was born in his image. Not in the image of God, but in his image. And when that happened, he was born dead because he did not have the Spirit of God in him. So that's why it's necessary to be born again. That name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. And that includes sin and death. If Jesus didn't have that name that could override sin and death, it would be hopeless for all of us. Pastor D knows the power in that name. And if we don't use that, if we don't know that, we're being pretty flippant with the Word of God. We think it's some magical token that you put in. It isn't. That's the name God the Father gave to the Son because he humbled himself, became obedient even to death on the cross. And that's what we have to have. And it's a personal, intimate, one-on-one relationship. I cannot transfer that relationship from myself to my son or to my daughter or my grandchildren. They have to make that choice themselves. Same with Debbie. She can't transfer that to me. I can't transfer that to her. We have to make that decision ourselves. It's up close and personal, one-on-one. But we can pray for each other. Okay? And I want to get I want to get real offensive with this prayer. Over the period of years, where's that clicker right here? Yeah, let's go to the other. Most people think that prayer should be like, how many know what the TV series Law and Order is? Okay, if you don't know Law and Order, do you know Blue Bloods? Okay, well, you know, in those two things, excuse me, in those two series, there's a crime committed, an arrest made, a trial's conducted, a verdict is reached, and then it's the end of the show. Takes about an hour. And that's the way we think that our prayer life should be. Well, I put in my request, and I know that that is what I need. So, Lord, please get that done and get that done quickly. Okay? Well, that's not what prayer life is looking like. All right? It's much more like a bird of paradise plant, which is, to me, one of the most beautiful plants in Florida. So this one happens to be in bloom, and it looks like a bird. The head of a bird. You can see, has this got a... And up at the very top, right there, you can see a bird. The head of a bird with the feathers and the plume. And it's gorgeous, okay? So that's the seeds. That's a seed pod from that plant. And that plant, before it would produce that seed pod and those flowers, takes a minimum of 5 years. Okay? So, but the seeds are in that. And it's like, wow. Seed falls to the ground, it, you know, everything is good, and then it grows and so forth. No, see, that right there, I'm going to pass some of these around. This is what that seed pod has in the middle of it right there. Feel that. That has to be broken open. Okay? Then, after it's broken open, then you have to pull the seeds out. Just pass them around. They're fine. And then you have to collect all the junk because they're covered with fiber. I mean, really fibrous material. And then once you get that, there's some of them that still have a very, very tight covering of fiber on it. And then you have to soak the seed for 24 hours. And then after that, you have to nick each one of the seeds. And then you have to plant it in the pot and you have to cover it and then let it grow for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, however long it takes. And then you have to put it in another pot and let it grow. And then 5 years later, you're going to have that beautiful plant that is going to have flowers. Well, that's like our prayer life. The Lord is looking for people to stand in the gap, to pray for each other. And it says in the Bible that when he looked all over for a person to stand in the gap, he couldn't find anybody. Well, let me tell you what a gap stander looks like. I have a friend in Connecticut. His name is Bud Reading. I sent him that text on that fateful Tuesday. Actually, I sent it on Wednesday. And Wednesday night, he called me and he said, "Mark, let me tell you, you and I have known each other for 30 years, and you don't know some things about me, but when I was growing up, I was a wild child." And I said, "Wow." He told me all the things that he had done. And he says, "I want you to tell your grandson, who, by the way, every Wednesday, Bud fasts and prays for Debbie, for me, for our children, for our grandchildren. He prays for them by name as well as a whole group of other people. He stands in the gap for us and has done it for over 15 years every Wednesday." And he told me, he said, "Mark, Wednesday's my best day. It is just an amazing day for me. But it's a day of total sacrifice." He doesn't eat. He does have fluids to stay hydrated. But he sacrifices for other people and brings us up to God the Father. And he says, "I want you to personally tell Ronan, your grandson, that he's been prayed for every day, every week of his life, because he's my fourth grandchild. And Bud has been praying for Alana and Morgan and Taylor, the first three. Then Ronan came along and he got added to the list. He's been prayed for every week of his life." He says, "I want you to know that. And I want him to know that. Because he's a special child in the eyes of God." That's a gap stander. And that's who God needs us to be. I've got a question for you. Is there anybody in your life that you want to be offensive for? That's got something going on in their life that you want to have the power of God break? Is there anybody?
Yes.
All right. Let's look at some scriptures. Colin. that God has given me over the years to pray for people. And I've given several people here these scriptures. But these are things that God has already done. Look up Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. He is interceding for us as we pray. Okay? So when you've got someone that you're praying for, ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray, to pray for that person. He wants to pray. You just be the conduit. Okay? Let Him do the prayer. Romans 10, 16 and 17, however, they did not heed all the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People need to hear. So, Lord, help them hear your word. Am I being drawn closer to God? Look at John 6, 44 and 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. That's a two-part thing. Whoever hears and learns. That's an act of the will, but we can ask God the Father to draw them closer to Him than they have ever been before. Draw them close, Lord. And that's what that was the very scripture that He gave me that Tuesday night. This is what's going on. Well, Lord, they don't have ears to hear. They don't know You. Revelation 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. First death is when we die physically. Second death is, where are we going to spend eternity? All right? And if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in good shape. If we don't, we're in serious trouble. But he who has an ear, let him hear. We can say, Lord, please give them spiritual ears. Because these aren't necessarily words that you hear with your physical ears, but they're words that you hear with your heart. And all of that has to pass through the brain. So let's look at Luke 24:45. Now Jesus said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Give them supernatural ability to understand what these scriptures say, Lord. Because they don't have that connection yet. Give them the ability to understand the scriptures. Then Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. In the heart man believeth. With the mouth confession is made to salvation, but we believe in the heart. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. God the Father is his. God the Father's calling. What are the riches of the glory of God the Father's inheritance in the saints? That's us. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. He's got it all. He owns it all, and he has all the power, and he is the one that can open the eyes of our hearts. That stone, that hard shell, he can open that.
Thanks. Just one quick thing I wanted to add to that, too. When you were talking, you know, I really appreciate how, you know, asking the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times we can come in with our own agenda, what we think needs to be done. But I think just stopping even before we pray, Holy Spirit, you know, Father, what do you want me to pray? Will you put in my mind what you want me to pray? How do you want me to pray about the situation? How do you want me to pray for this person or the circumstances? Because it might even be different than what I'm thinking. I need to line up my thoughts with his thoughts. And I like how you say that too, like now we don't really think of a name that much, like in Jesus' name. But a name back in those days represented everything about a person. It represented their character, their attributes. So when we ask, like, you know, when we pray in Jesus' name, we are simply aligning our character, our wants, our desires with what he's wanting to do in a situation. That's why it's so important to ask him and to line it up, because he sees what we don't.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, here's what Psalm 37, 1 through 8 says. Because this is how we can get the desires of our hearts to align with Jesus. We can let God change our heart, not me try to manipulate God into doing what I want to do. Psalm 37, 1 through 8. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. All those other things have to come first. Those are all issues of the heart. Okay? So when we align our heart with his heart, then he will give us the desires of our hearts, because they're his desires. That's how it works. Not the other way around. It's not like a four-year-old child coming up to daddy or mommy, like a four-year-old daughter going, oh daddy, please. Okay. It doesn't work that way. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. There's two definitions of the word trust in Hebrew scriptures. One is that you are bound together with twisting. Anybody ever do any electrical things, fixed a light socket or this kind of thing? When you put the two wires together and you put a wiring nut on top of it, it twists those wires together so that they will not come apart. Cool thing about that is if you try to take them apart, and you can successfully do it, but the wire is not the same. It's always going to be twisted in the shape that it should be, which is when it's twisted together with that wiring nut, which is us and God together. And the other one is living your life in a way that the rug is not going to be pulled out from underneath you. That is trust. Because you can walk in security and safety, and you know it. Because the rug's not going to get pulled out. How do we know that? Because God says, I am the rock on that foundation, and it will not move. Build your house on the rock. not on the rug or the shifting sand or any of those other things. But it says, trust also in him and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, I got some issues with patience. I mean, I am not the world's most patient person. And I know that sometimes I pray for patience, and what that means is there's more trials and tribulation coming because that's how I learn it. It's unfortunate, but that's the only way I learn it. So, it also says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. So, that's how we align our heart with Jesus. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't do it. God loved us first. He gave us his Holy Spirit, and now we love him back. That's how it works. So, the next thing is Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. This is one of the most powerful scriptures in the entire Bible. And when we start here with this, the laundry list goes away. This is a good place to start and wait. Wait for him to tell us where to go. It says, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I stopped the laundry list. I said, Lord, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that I can ask or think. I do not want to limit what it is you want to do in this person's life. However, I will sit here silently and wait for any further instructions as to what you want me to bring up before you. Why is that important? It's because when and if he tells you something, he's telling you in advance what he wants to do. I have other friends in Kentucky. I had a friend of mine whose wife had what three doctors said was cancer of the eye and would have to be removed. She was petrified. And so was her husband. I said, Lord, how do you want to pray for that? How do you want, what should we do? And I just sat there and waited. About a week later, he said, I want you to pray. I want you to get with her husband and tell him to pray for his wife this, that what the doctors are seeing in the eye will shrink away to nothingness, that it will be gone. And so they went up to Cincinnati. He got with his wife. He prayed that prayer. They went up to Cincinnati, which is where the most foremost eye specialist in the world was. And he looked at that and he said, that's a freckle. That's going to go away. Praise the Lord. Another friend of mine in Kentucky, his brother was having heart surgery, major heart surgery, which both Debbie and I have lived through. Multiple bypass surgeries. Very dangerous. I said, Lord, what do you want us to pray? He says, I want you to get with Billy Ray. And I want you to pray with him for his brother that before the doctors do that surgery, they'll be amazed that they find nothing wrong. And I did. And Billy Ray did. And he prayed that prayer for his brother. And that night, he drove home from Cincinnati to Lexington, Kentucky. I don't think his wheels ever hit the ground. Why? Because God did a miraculous healing in that man's life. Physically. Does that mean it's going to be that way every time? I cannot make that promise. But I can tell you this. If you say, Lord, and you mean it, you have faith to believe that that is true, and you wait to hear what he has to say, and you bring that up to him because he's the one that's telling you to do it. He's telling you in advance what he wants to do. But there's things that can block answered prayer. Unforgiveness. Continuing sin in your life, my life. Unforgiveness. That's huge. That's like drinking poison and hoping that the person that you haven't forgiven dies. Well, the only one that's going to die is you. I got bad news for you. Unwillingness to do what, you know, disobedience. That also will block prayer. So again, we have to have the right heart attitude. Zechariah 4:6. When he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not my strength. It's not your strength. It's not Pastor D. It's not Gary. It's the Spirit of God. And you have that same connection. And when you're in the fight, using the sword of the Spirit, the same result can happen. But we all have to be in the fight together. You got to stick an oar in the water and start pulling the boat. You can't just sit there and say, boy, I sure wish the boat would move. No, you got to get in there and do the work. That's why you have to be in shape if you're going to be a gap stander, if you're going to wield that sword. It's heavy. But he will make you ready. Last one is Ezekiel 36:24-28. This is what he does. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle you clean. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land and that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people. And I will be your God. That's being born again. That's having that right relationship that was given away by Adam, that Jesus Christ, that name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If he had not done what he did on that cross, and the Holy Spirit did not have enough power to bring him back to life, all of this is a moot point. But it's not. He did it. We're the beneficiaries. So, in closing, I would just like to encourage all of us to get in the fight. There's some scriptures here that you can use as an offensive weapon. You don't have to wait for the enemy to attack. The enemy's already taken ground and you're taking it back. So let's go and stand in the gap on behalf of the people we love. On behalf of the people that we know that if someone doesn't intercede for them, they're going to hell. We don't want that to happen. And we have this. The sword of the Spirit, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. That person's soul is crying out to you because it needs the Spirit. That soul is dying and they don't even know it. So, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come. Lord, if we're brand new believers and don't know what to do, and we don't know what strong faith means and how to get strong faith, we can be like the father whose son kept throwing himself in the fire. And he said to Jesus, if it is possible, you can help my son. And Jesus said, if it's possible, all things are possible to him that believes. Next came the most beautiful prayer out of the Father's mouth that any one of us can pray. Lord, I do believe. Help thou my unbelief. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave us that starting point so that we can have our faith grow into like Abraham's, but with that one little grain like a mustard seed. Help thou my unbelief. What a beautiful prayer. And that's a prayer that we know you will answer. Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ on a personal basis, please, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, convict them that they need to come and speak with someone that is up here about how to get right with you, so that when that last day comes and they breathe their last, they will get to spend eternity with you. Father God, I thank you that you showed up this morning. I thank you that you love us so much that you want to show us how we can actively participate in the advancement of your kingdom and also actively participate in the salvation of our friends and our loved ones. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.